Welcome, everybody. This is the APR Online Study Course cohort session for the summer of 2017. And we're going to be talking about our RPIE, which we've been focused on all summer. We're going to talk about the planning components related to audience identification and objectives. And I'm hoping that everybody had a good 4th of July. We want you to participate. We've got a great group of people on the panel. We've got a great group of people in the session. We want you to participate. So type into the chat window right now, name one of the four parts of a complete communication objective. Name one of the four parts. Somebody's got measurable in there. Think about the four things that you have. An audience. Kelly says audience. Christopher says timing. Several people say timing. There's one more thing missing. We've got okay, so I'm going to name the four things because we're going to do it. We've got a measurable part. We have a date. We have an audience, and we need a change in attitude or action. Excellent. Thank you so much, Tara, for getting us through that. We weren't sure we were going to really start the meeting without that. So I'm Michael Henry, your technical facilitator for the APR Online Study Course, and I'm really happy to be here after a little break for 4th of July. And I'm really happy to say that we've got a great group, great panel for you today. We've got Grant Walker. Welcome, Grant. We're really happy that you're here.
Thank you.
You were expecting a longer introduction. Next time, Grant. And Casey Myers, we're really happy to have you here with us as well. Welcome, Casey.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And actually, before we start, it would just be wonderful to sort of kick us off just a little bit and get a feedback from you, Grant, just on the importance of sticking to this effort. We know that there are lots of people that, especially in the summertime, you've got lots of distractions, and it's a really focused effort. So help people understand that they should stick with it, Grant.
Yes, absolutely. I actually sort of started and stopped with my APR program for a while, and then finally I did decide that it wasn't going to work unless I got focused and really did it. I joined a study group. I got a group of people together that we were able to meet online on a regular basis, and we studied together. We bounced ideas off each other and created flashcards for each other. I mean, and that's what really made the difference, was setting a date and believing in it and getting together with some study folks.
Excellent, Grant. Thank you so much. I hate to say it, it's easy to procrastinate about your APR. It's really easy to do that. Casey, do you have any words of encouragement for the group?
Just that I was a member of this course. I earned my APR in April and was sitting where you are just maybe 5 months ago. And I, like many people, I started in a cohort in the fall, and various things got in the way. So I joined another cohort in the spring and just worked the process and became very involved in what we were doing in class and keeping up with the readings and keeping up with the participation in the course and becoming an active participant in the course, which I think is a good way also to keep you on track. You know, it is a process that takes it's not an overnight process, and it's not something that you can sort of learn through osmosis. I think you have to really dedicate yourself to it, and input equals output. The more you put into it, the better off you'll be at the end. But just because you're here in the course right now, you're on the right track. And even if you get a little behind or you feel like you need to join another cohort in the fall, that's perfectly okay. And I think that's the norm for a lot of people. And it's been the norm for a lot of people that I've known that have gone on to earn their APR.
Excellent, Casey. We're really happy that both of you are here. And as you both know, we are happy to have you interrupt us at any time during this meeting. The summer session is a little different, mostly because schedules are so different in the summer. that what we do is we focus on the planning components in a communication plan. And what we like to say is that all of the KSAs are often involved in the strategic thinking that goes on when you construct these planning components. So it really is the heart and soul of the APR examination, and we really encourage you to spend some quality time looking at those planning components. So speaking of quality time, we're going to ask Samantha and Kelly if you would share your questions with us, and we've got their questions here. We want you listening to listen to the scenario and remember that each of the questions are based on a specific KSA. So it's really important for you to think of, now what KSA are they talking about in this question? And that will help you answer the question. And then respond to the question based on best practices. Try to think of what we should do rather than what sometimes happens because of circumstances in organizations. And then discuss the content of the question, and we'll get some feedback from our APR facilitators in this session. So also we want to point out that the characteristics of the APR examination questions, the multiple choice questions, is very particular. And it's important for you to understand those characteristics. So if you haven't seen this handout, which is in the online study course linked all over the place, I'm happy to put the link in the chat window if you need it. But it's important for you to understand the types of questions on the examination. So be sure to spend some quality time with this handout as well to really help you put that question together. So with that, I'm going to ask Samantha if she would share her question with you right now.
Thanks, Michael. You are asked to plan a festival for your town. The mayor tells you that he wants it to benefit local businesses. Using this information, what outcome objective would you include in the PR plan for the event? A, to increase the customer base and profits for local businesses. B, during the festival, conduct a drawing for attendees for 8 $25 gift certificates to local businesses. C, invite 5 local businesses to set up their food truck for the duration of the festival. Or D, local businesses within a 2-block radius of the festival will report increased earnings by 25% over the next month.
Okay, so this is your opportunity to enter your response in the chat window. And we've got a lot of people saying D, and I would imagine that because we've got so many people saying D, that is the correct answer according to Samantha. And Samantha, would you read your rationale for the question?
Yes, and this came from pages 23 and 24 of the APR study guide. A is a goal, which is a longer term broad statement. B and C are both tactics, and they're things that you're actually going to do to accomplish the objective. And of course, D has all of the components of an objective, of an outcome objective.
Great. So let's get some feedback from our panel just related to the format of the question. So Casey, does this look like a question that you'd get on the examination? Can you help us with that?
I think so. I think that it's fairly similar to some of the questions that I saw on the exam. One of the things that RPI, if you think about, and I don't know if you've heard that, you've probably heard this before, is that that's sort of RPI is the nucleus of APR. Like it's the most important aspect in a way, and it's a process that you have to earn, to internalize. So when you read a question like that and you're and sort of internalize the APR process, you should know right off the bat that B and C are wrong, because they're output objectives. They're not outcome based. And then A is wrong because of the way that it's structured. And you'll see a lot of questions like that, and you have to look at it from a standpoint of going back to the philosophy of RPI and saying, really, what is RPI about? What is the optimal way that people write objectives according to the study guide? And this is something that's not only something that will appear on the exam, but it'll be something in the panel presentation that will come up as well. And do you understand and do you know that process? So it's a great question. And I think the answer is what I was thinking as well was D. So you'll see a lot of things like that on the exam.
Great. Grant, do you have a comment?
Yes, I agree. You will see a lot of scenario-based questions like this on the exam. One thing you might get on the exam is, as far as your choices go, is something a little more nuanced. You might see at least one other distractor that's really close to all the pieces of a SMART objective, but just misses the mark by a little bit. So you still will want to read all those answers very carefully.
Excellent, Grant. And actually, we often say when everybody gets it correct in a meeting like this, we're often saying that the question might be not as nuanced as the questions on the examination. And one way that they could make it more nuanced is to have this exactly the same objective that everyone picked, D, but then have an unrealistic date or have an unrealistic a size of an audience, or make it an audience that's not aligned with the problem that's stated in the scenario. So the questions are a little bit more nuanced than that. So let's go ahead and go to,
just one real quick thing.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say another thing that I have increasingly seen on the exam is that you would have a scenario based question with A through E and then choose two.
Right. Excellent. Excellent point. Kelly, I'm actually not sure I put your question in. I'm looking to see what I don't think I updated the slides when you sent the question to me. Can you share Christine's question here, Kelly?
Absolutely. You are the communications director for the Alabama Department of Health. Mosquito season begins in 2 months, and your office needs to plan and implement a statewide campaign to increase public awareness of the Zika virus. What are two research methods you would recommend that your office use to quickly gather information on public awareness of the Zika virus in your state? A. Organize a series of focus groups in areas that have high mosquito populations to find out what residents know about the virus. B. Mail a one-page survey to residents in every county with a prepaid envelope they can use to return the survey. C. Use professional callers to conduct a 10-minute telephone survey of a random sample of state residents. D. Hold community forums to find out what residents know about the Zika virus. E. Conduct a content analysis of media reports on the Zika virus to help you develop your messaging. Or F. Send an online survey to all state taxpayers with questions about their knowledge of the Zika virus. Choose two research methods.
Excellent. Now's your opportunity to enter two responses in the chat window. And don't be shy. It's better to put an answer in there even if you don't know which one is correct. Okay, we've got a really big diversity of responses here. And according to the author of the question, it's C and F, and some of you are saying yay, and others of you are saying whoa. But what we want to do is look at the rationale and understand exactly why the author picked those as the correct answer. Would you read that with us, Kelly?
Telephone and online surveys would be the fastest methods for gathering quantitative data. Phone interviews and online surveys offer a fast, cost-effective way to gather information, although sample selection is hampered by the switch to cell phones, caller ID to screen calls, and spam filters that toss out junk emails. Content analysis and mail-in surveys are both formal research methods, but neither provides the quick data collection capabilities of the phone and online surveys. While imperfect, these two research methods would quickly provide the health department with quantitative data they could supplement with informal research. That's from Effective Public Relations, 11th edition, chapter 11.
Great, excellent, good job. And We've got some other questions here, so I would love it if Samantha would share this question with the group.
As a public relations manager for a Christian retirement community, you are tasked with creating a campaign to raise $100,000 quickly for the Benevolence Fund. You research who has given donations to the fund and how much for the past 10 years, then create a 10-step public relations plan. You know that the majority of donations come from current residents who live at the retirement community. Michael, I don't think I can change the slides. Which objective below is an appropriate choice for the campaign? A, to increase giving to the Benevolent Fund from 10% to 25% following the introduction of a new giving society. B, to raise awareness of the Benevolent Fund among residents from 30% to 65% within 60 days after the campaign begins. C, 25% of the residents will give a donation to the Benevolent Fund within 3 months after the campaign begins, up from an average of 10% who give during any given quarter. Or D, 50% of residents will include the Benevolence Fund in their estate planning following a series of free estate planning seminars.
Okay, this is it. That's kind of good. We've got to, and feel free to enter a response, even if you're not sure. We want everyone to participate. We do have some disagreement on this particular question, and according to the author, the correct answer is C. But again, we want to look at that rationale. Would you share that, Samantha?
Sure. This objective describes the audience, outcome, attainment level, and time frame, and directly correlates to the overall goal of quickly raising $100,000. So A references a particular tactic, which is a no-no and does not include an audience. B could be an objective, but it refers to awareness, which does not directly correlate to our goal of quickly raising $100,000, and therefore number three is a better choice. D refers to giving in the future, which does not directly correlate to our goal of quickly raising $100,000. And the references, writing a PR plan, 10-step process, EPR 10th edition, chapter 12, step 2.
Excellent. Very good. And let's go ahead and do this one. And then I'm hoping Grant and Casey will share some notes that they're taking. Kelly, would you share this question?
Sure. A large Maryland hospital with several physician offices and an outpatient clinic is located on 2 acres in downtown Baltimore. The administration has decided to build a parking deck on its campus to relieve parking congestion for all who work at or use the facilities. Select an objective that could be included in a successful PR plan for the hospital's parking solutions team. A. Redirectional congestion relief parking posters will be posted in the 2 existing parking decks and at all surface parking locations. B. To help alleviate congestion, 85% of all full-time employees will use off-site parking and/or ride-sharing options. C. At the end of 6 months, 65% of all employees will be using a carpool ride-sharing program to help alleviate congestion, or D, congestion relief parking maps and information will be disseminated throughout the hospital's campus in a timely manner.
Okay, we've got a lot of people going with that C option there, and according to the author, and I think according to everyone in this meeting, C is the objective. And this is a really good thing to know is we do look for, a lot of people say, well, the objective needs to be smart. Well, it does need to be smart, but these are really the things we're looking for is who does what, by when, and how much. In some ways, that's easier to remember than what does the acronym SMART stand for? So look for the audience, look for the action and change in attitude or behavior, the measurable amount, and then a date when it's accomplished. So let's get some feedback from you guys. We had some questions in there that were a little bit more difficult. Casey, do you want to comment on those questions?
Me?
Casey?
I hit the audio button as soon as you said my name, and I thought, well, I don't know if you said my name. So one of the things that I noticed on that is that that series of questions is kind of like the experience that you will have taking the exam. There may be some questions you know the answer to. You can do it, done, move on. And like the one through the A through F, pick two, you'll get questions like that too. And you'll sit there and you'll read it and you'll reread it and you'll say, well, this could be this and it could be this and I could argue this point or argue that point. What you have to realize is that all the questions count the same, unless they're beta questions, which means they don't count at all. And there's time management issue here, working through those longer questions with the longer choices. And so that's a thing to also kind of think about when you're dealing with the questions is, you know, how do I get through this question? How do I read it? How do I answer it and move on? Because you're going to have those questions where you second guess yourself. I think the second question that was put up there was very similar to some questions that I had on the exam. One thing that you'll note is that there are some questions on the exam, usually not about research. It's usually more about theory and history that are kind of just basic knowledge questions. Most of the questions, though, are scenario based. And reading through that scenario and thinking about it, looking at the wording of the question and being able to sort of work your way through the answers. The scenario based questions rarely have throwaway answers. So in the last question where we had two answers that were sort of tactical answers, which to me seems sort of throwaway, it wouldn't be quite that obvious. It would be more nuanced, as we've talked about, and looking at, so it wouldn't be as if like we would have one objective that had a timeline on it and then three others that had no timeline on it. So it's obviously A and not B, C, and D. You wouldn't have something like that. They would all sort of look like the right answer. And like Mike was talking about in the RPI, or talk about the objective in the RPI process, you know, it's not about like memorizing SMART. And well, what does the T in SMART stand for? It's about really kind of knowing what that is and recognizing that in a factually based environment. And knowing that philosophy and being able to identify it. And that's the real challenge of those questions. But I think these are really good questions and something that you'll recognize some of this type and format when you take the exam.
Excellent. Grant?
Yeah, I agree. This is a good series of questions, and the exam will feel, will feel like this. You'll get a series like this. They're all sort of similar. They're all about objectives, and they can wear you out a little bit, but the thing to always remember, and I saw some people in the chat window mentioning it several times, which is spot on, which is go back and read the question. It's really easy to get lost in all those answers, especially one where it was what, A through F. I suspect that's a lot of replies. But if you go back and look, if you read all those choices and then go back and you aren't sure, if you really read the question frequently, the answer suddenly will jump out at you and you'll realize what the question is actually asking you to do. So that's really important.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Grandin. Of course, we want you to create those questions as well. It's the process of actually thinking through a question like that that really will help you understand those characteristics very well. And I want to apologize for Kelly because she did send a great question. And Kelly, I'm hoping you can share that in an upcoming meeting. And I imagine, Kelly, did you post your question online as well? You did, didn't you?
Yes, I sure did.
Excellent. So you folks can go and find Kelly's question in the online course. I think it's in Module 5. All right, at this point, what we'd like to do, and I'm very sorry. I think I told people at the beginning that I'm a little out of practice because of the 4th of July, and I forgot to update the name on the slides here. It's actually, Sparkle is actually our presenter for the notes, and one thing that we want to make sure that we're doing is focusing on those communication objectives in these slides. And so, Sparkle, would you go ahead and share your notes about audiences and objectives?
Sure. So identifying your publics is one of the first steps in planning a public relations program. I kind of just pulled out some of the things that I thought were key with publics. A public may further be defined as a particular group of people with a common interest or aim. And those are some kind of publics often use demographics, physiographics, motivating, self-interest, status of current relationships with an organization, a location, or other characteristics to define the publics. One of the things that I found neat in kind of this particular section is that idea of a general public, how many of us prior to our studies for our APR thought or utilized that term, the general public, but it includes many specific or specialized publics, and they can overlap and they can be segmented in multiple ways. So it's not just a catch-all. You really have to have some characteristics of your publics. Relying on one characteristic, such as race or income, it's not usually adequate, and you want to delve deeper. I work for a city with a number of residents, and our publics vary so much, but I've really tried to work to hone in on what the resident of Pearland actually looks like and is, and what some of the characteristics are, so that I can better communicate with our residents. So how do you then identify publics? You can jot down various publics you reach daily. So kind of what I talked about for the city of Pearland, I've tried to kind of write those down. And then think about what it is that I'm trying to communicate with them. So whether it's a public awareness campaign or a direct mail campaign or even media relations activity, who are those publics that I'm trying to utilize those areas to communicate with them? So there's a couple of different publics. There's all issue, there's apathetic, there's single issue, and there's hot issue. Probably from a city perspective, what I often get are those apathetic publics who aren't as attentive. And then occasionally we get people showing up to a city council meeting because they only care about the CVS that's being built behind their home. So they're a single issue. They have a limited number of issues and or one issue that they care about. The publics are important to the public opinion formation because influencing each of them will require different tactics. If you understand who your publics are, then you can reach those groups and you'll be closer to then in turn reaching your objective. So there's that RPIE that we talked about earlier. And so focus on the change in attitude or action in your audience. And you'll see there that objective setting falls under the planning goal and objective section. It's under that section. Objectives should be shorter term. They are written after research on all publics is done. That's one of the things that came up in my interview when I've already done my APR interview, and one of the questions that came up was, did I do the research first? And that is one of those things that you have to do first, but it's sometimes hard because we think we know what the research is going to say, but of course you don't always. So doing that research can help you kind of better define your plan. We talked a little bit about objectives. So objectives should do three things. They should define what opinion, attitude, or behavior you want to achieve from specific publics. They should specify how much change you want to achieve from each public and tell by when you want to achieve that change. Though I did write down from the chat window that the ad, I like that. That's my new acronym for objectives now. Objectives should also be SMART. We've heard SMART, so specific, measurable, attainable, and they should be results oriented. And output objectives measure activity. So the output objectives are important, and what you really should be, or you should be focusing on outcome, not output. So The output objectives are you issue 10 news releases. The outputs can help you monitor your work, but there's no real direct value in measuring them. So your focus really should be on outcome objectives. The Barcelona principles discourage the use of output objectives. Process objectives call for you to inform or educate your publics. And process objectives show the effort or action of the organization, not the change in attitude or action in your audience. And then here's the outcome. So these are the good ones that we really want. So an example of an outcome objective would be new mothers increased downloads of a product coupon by 25% from October levels by December 31st. So you really want to focus on those outcome, and that's because they focus on high-level strategic thinking. You have to determine which changes would be consistent with organizational goals and demonstrate public relations effectiveness to management. So you'll differentiate between measuring the outputs.
Sorry about that.
No, you're okay. I'm almost done. the outputs, which are generally short term, you want to focus on the longer term, those outcomes. That's it.
Great. And you know, I find that these last slides, this idea of really differentiating between an outcome objective and an output objective or a process objective, is sometimes difficult for people to do. And it seems to me that you could, after this session, write a question that has, you know, all three of those types and have people identify which one is the outcome objective, because that's what they desire, is the outcome objective. It doesn't mean that the others are wrong. It just means that they're not measuring the change in attitude or behavior in your audience. So let's get some comments from our panel here. Casey, do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll just share a little story about output and outcome objectives, is that, you know, the objective thing is tested, but it also shows up in the panel presentation because you have a campaign. And I had an objective in my campaign that was really an output objective, and I was putting it together. And I was thinking, well, they're going to hate this. They're just, you know, I got to address it some way. But it was what was done in the campaign. It wasn't the only thing, wasn't the only objective, but it was the only output objective. And I said in the panel presentation, I said, you know, this APR process has really changed how I view public relations. And I have an output objective listed here. And had I know what I know now, I would not have that there. I would rephrase it as an outcome objective. And the panel was really receptive to that. It wasn't as if they were looking to skewer me on the plan. They really liked seeing that the process had changed me. That's very important. Somebody had asked about talking about publics and the questions about publics. There's some scenario-based questions on publics. I did, and I know this is a section on objective and RPI. But if you get in, when you get into the theory section, there are theories about publics, and sometimes they will have questions about just specific types of publics, like the latent public, active public, difference. I had questions that were specifically on that, and that's something that I think that the study guide and maybe some of the supplementary tools, such as effective public relations and others, they discuss more in depth. So that may be worth looking at. My colleague writes the study guide, and he was telling me the other day, we were talking about this, he says everything in the guide is verified by two sources. So it's not as if it's one or the other. So you'll find sort of these, you'll find the answers to some of these questions or some of these characteristics in two different sources. So there isn't a secondary source that is better than the other. They're using at least two to verify everything. But just looking at the study guide and understanding that about publics. And I think that the notes, and another thing that people do, particularly from this class, is they print out those notes, or they save those notes, and they go over those notes before they take the exam as a type of outline for them, to just as a refresher for them. So I think this has been very, very beneficial. And I think that it is, this was a good job today, really good job.
Yeah, excellent, Grant.
Yes, it is a very good job, and the discussion about outcome and output objectives, I've always found that if I can't come up with any outcome objectives for something I'm working on, it probably means I haven't done enough work yet. I don't have a plan. I don't have research. I probably don't have any of the groundwork I really need, because generally output objectives are really just tactics most of the time. It's like, I'm going to canvass the entire county with posters. And that is something you'll run into a lot. I'm sure everybody here has. You're working with clients, and they'll have a goal in mind. They'll say, well, I want to raise awareness, and so I want to I want every billboard in the city to have this symbol, to have this symbol on it. And it's like, well, okay, that's a great tactic, but that's not an objective. And but it doesn't mean you can't have some objectives that are, I know they're not. If you really want to guarantee or measure the success of your campaign, you've got to have those outcome objectives. But outputs are not really objectives, but it's certainly something you want to think about. What are we going to do to reach those outcomes? And that's something I saw in an earlier question too, was sometimes people will put in their main goal for a campaign a number, and that frequently gets you into trouble. And I find if your goal is a number, we're going to increase sales by 40%. If that's your goal, then then you start falling into tactics right away. So you want that goal to be about a state that you want to be in. We want to be the number one choice for appliances in Southern Oregon or something like that. That's a goal, but you don't have a specific number you're looking for yet. Then it becomes a lot easier to start putting together your objectives so that they make sense.
That's great, Grant. You made a comment there that I think we should highlight, which I think is a great comment, and that was that if I'm creating output objectives or process objectives, it's clear that I haven't done enough research on the problem, or I haven't, you know, mm-hmm. In other words, you said that you didn't have enough information to make the objective targeted enough to the specific problem that you're trying to achieve. So that's fantastic. That is, I think, a really great comment. And I want to just highlight before we move on, I want to highlight the suggestion that Corey posted in the chat window, because we don't have an acronym for audience, action, amount, and date. She said, why don't you use the acronym ADD? And I don't know, we might get in trouble with the advertising people if we did that, but there you have it. Well, thank you very much. And let's go ahead now and move on to our case. And I want to help people understand that it's very important to do these things yourself as well. We find that when people do a case problem, respond to a communication problem using the components of a public, the APR, that they internalize the approach and they internalize how these things are supposed to look. And then when you take the examination, it is internalized, so you know the answer. So I want to ask Kelly if she will read this case presentation. And what I would like you to do is to listen and participate. I'd like you to consider how you would modify some of these components. And I will tell you, there are some components in here that need modification. I want you to suggest changes in the chat window. And I want you also to encourage this plan by recognizing the strengths of the plan and type those into the chat window as well. So with that, I will ask Kelly if she will read this plan.
Okay, this case presentation has to do with the National Association of Security System Distributors. The situation: slow membership growth of 5% a year. Member companies distribute security systems for residential and commercial, both retail and wholesale. Negative publicity that burglars have found ways to breach security systems has arisen from the public's experience with non-member competitors. The current PR budget is $300,000 a year. 4 staff and 18 volunteers are additional resources. Situation continues. The PR program appears to be covering most of the association's publics, but image is not improving. Suggestions that the entire PR program, the department, and your job be scrapped and replaced by government relations activities, or drop part of the programs and transfer the money to other uses, or start a crash image building program through institutional advertising campaigns. Your attempts as the PR person to defend the old program and show improvements to the association's image with certain key publics is met with complaints that negative publicity must mean that that program is not doing the job. Improvements in the association's image do not seem to be transferring to the member companies. Your boss says she will support you, but you are to come up with a plan for what needs to be done. The problem or opportunity. The PR person has inherited a program which is seen as unsuccessful. There is little transfer of an improved image of member companies from the association's improved image. The public at large is not convinced of the value of residential security systems. The research and findings. A media content analysis was done. The source, articles featuring trends and successes in the security industry in both newspapers and trade publications. The rationale, to develop an understanding regarding the range of negative and positive press featured about the security industry. Focus groups. Source, association members. Rationale, to understand member perceptions and assess their needs from the association. Telephone survey. Source, random sample of public at large. Rationale, assess and understand their views regarding the importance of security systems. Secondary research. Source, the Patent Office. Rationale, to determine the success of patents relative to security devices. New patents mean that new technology is being developed. The goal, the NASSD is seen as a leader in security systems, information, and resources for consumers and industry partners. Key publics. There are 2 internal key publics, the retail association members and the wholesale association members. There are 4 external key publics, potential members, current customers, potential customers, and the public at large. The objectives related to the public at large. The short-term objective, increase to 50% the number of people who own a residential security system within the calendar year. The long-term objective, within 2 years, gain and maintain public support for the importance and value of security systems. Strategies, media relations, increase contact with all media outlets, provide opportunities to the media to become more knowledgeable about the security industry. Information to media. Third-party endorsements or testimonials about security systems. Celebrate security industry successes with early adopters. Increase awareness in the general public about the importance of security systems. Main message: there has never been a time when security in the home is more important to protect your loved ones and your precious possessions. The NASSD member companies provide a wide range of security systems that fit into your household budget. Tactics and budget. The spokesperson for the tactic of media relations is the PR department and the director of the association, or the CEO. The estimated cost includes 60 hours of staff time, 16 hours of volunteer time, $500 of marketing materials, and $1,000 for food. The spokesperson related to the tactic testimonials and third-party endorsements to include web content, newsletter, ads for print and television is the PR director and the director of the association, or the CEO. The estimated cost is $50,000 for advertising and $10,000 for the newsletter. The spokesperson related to the tactic celebrating success and increased awareness involving press releases, web content, and news is the PR director, the director of the association, or the CEO. The estimated cost, $10,000 for the newsletter, $10,000 for the website, and $1,000 for electronic communication. The timeline. The media relations tactic will continue from November through the end of January. Testimonials and third-party endorsements from February through April, and celebrate success of industry from November through August. Evaluation of objectives. Telephone survey after 1 year with the public. Sales data. Sales increases. Media content analysis. Volume of coverage. Content. Did we communicate our messages? Evaluation of goal. Measure membership. Sales data. Sales increases. Media content analysis. Volume of coverage and content. Did we communicate our messages? Focus groups, telephone survey.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize that we were at the end. So let's get some, and I want to first, before we start, point out that I am very, very, I'm so happy with the way you guys are getting involved in these plans. By the way, this was not Kelly's plan, so it's she was helping by reading it, and it was really fantastic because she read it in a way that made all of you think of what we could do to improve it. And there were so many fantastic comments in the chat window. Grant, why don't we start with you and chat about what you saw in the plan that you think needs a little work and what was good?
Yes, I thought the certainly when they got to the goal, that was well stated, and it was a future state of being. I think one thing that made it difficult from the beginning, I think I even posted a comment about that, was the situation analysis had a lot in there about, well, your department is on the line. If you don't succeed, your department's going to disappear. It seems like an interesting place to start your communication plan. Or maybe I misread that. That seemed to be what it was saying. So I was really pleased to see that the plan focused on improving public opinion about the security systems rather than a plan that's going to save the department. I saw a lot of comments about it seemed a little vague, especially on strategies and tactics, and some of the objectives did not have a real clear time frame. I think I would agree with all of those comments. There definitely were some problems there. However, I saw some good points especially in the strategies. I think the media part could be a little more focused, but definitely the idea that you're going to use the media as a channel, which is, it's really a channel, not a public, and use the media as a channel to get your word out. That's definitely a strategy, but it needs to be a little bit clearer as to what is that strategy. Are you going to identify some really high profile writers who might write about your newest advances in technology that show that you're getting better? So it's not really clear. It almost seems like the way the plan's written, the real goal is to lift the image of the security industry overall and distance yourself from some of those other industry partners, but there's so much about general public. I think the publics do need to be more better defined. And those comments are kind of all over the map, but that's my from the gut response. So.
That's great. That's great. Casey, we'll turn to you at this point, and I think you're going to need to unmute yourself because I had to mute you there for a moment. So would you go ahead and share?
Sure. And I echo Grant and the group's comments. I would say that it was a great presentation, and it's one of those things, doing the case study, you learn a lot as the presenter that you will never learn if you don't present. So everyone should take advantage of that opportunity because it really does change your perspective on how all of this fits together. You know, one of the things that I was thinking of, and I took some quick notes here, just go through them, it's an interesting scenario. I think it meant to be very real world. And of course, they're highlighting the research in the beginning. There's a broad goal that I don't know that I think that the goal itself is good for this particular scenario, but the way that the goal was written as a big broad item was, I felt like, was correctly done. Where I had problems was on the objectives, particularly the second objective. It wasn't very clear, and it could be more specific, and it was kind of trending toward being an outcome, sort of an attitudinal change, but it wasn't quite there yet. I think another thing is that when we look at the strategies and tactics in this, one of the things that is really an issue, particularly going through the process, is saying, okay, well, what is a strategy and what is a tactic? And to me, some of those strategies seemed very tactical. And some of the tactics just seemed to be more elaborations on the tactics that were presented as strategies. So if you think about it, and I was just jotting down here, if you think of a strategy as like build on current media context to increase coverage of a program, and then the tactic would be, you know, send out a press release and increase web content or something. You know, a strategy is more broad and a tactic is more specific. I mean, what am I going to do? And, you know, can I check that that box? She said, can you reread those again? Strategy, I guess that's what you're talking about. The strategy, build on current media context to increase coverage. And then a tactic would be, you know, send out a press release, web content, that kind of thing. The timeline was good, but the evaluation to me had a lot of problems. One is it seemed to be like an evaluation where you just sort of check the box, like did we do this or did we not do this? And that is certainly a form of evaluation, but what the APR really wants is to look at evaluation from the standpoint of meeting objectives, not just sort of did we complete what we said we were going to complete in the campaign. I would look at effective public relations, and particularly that Grunig and Hahn evaluation strategy, because that is something that PRSA and APR has really emphasized. It's this sort of very nuanced way of evaluation and how that relates to objectives. That isn't the time frame of follow-up telephone survey a year later a problem. It could be. You think about an evaluation as the sort of the building for the next campaign. So you could maybe do a longer term evaluation down the road, but it would have to be with other types of evaluative techniques as well, because it's a cyclical process as we go back and from RPI, the E brings us back to the R to start the process for the next campaign. But overall, good job on the case study, and I think it's really a great learning experience. It makes us think about a lot of interesting things that we might not really think about when we're just thinking about questions on a multiple choice exam.
Well, I want to go ahead, Garrett. I'm sorry, please.
I was just going to add real quick what Casey mentioned about evaluation. That's a really great comment, and it's really important. I'm sure probably all of us here are already aware of this, but I have to say that evaluation is where marketing and public relations campaigns both frequently fall down. People complete all parts of RPI except the E. They even have a plan for how to do E, but by the time they get to the end of a campaign, there's so many other things on your table that you got to move on, and the evaluation falls into the past and sometimes never gets done. And you will never really know how to get successful without doing the evaluations. So that just has to be a part of your RPI that you can't fail on any part of RPI if you're really going to be successful.
I am so impressed by the comments that are in the chat window. The panel is doing a fantastic job, and this particular plan, and as Grant pointed out, the goal is really well constructed, but it may be the incorrect goal for the situation. And Corey points out that I would do an internal PR effort because the company clearly doesn't support the communications process or understand for perhaps the communication process. So there are some really wonderful comments. And I want to, before we call a close to this meeting, I want everyone in the chat window give some big old loving to Casey for sharing comments, and Grant both, and also tell Kelly, thank you very much for reading that case situation in such a way, really, Kelly, that helped people reflect on the needs and the components that were there. So that was so fantastic, Kelly. And of course, thank Sparkle as well for her notes, excellent notes on audience and objectives. Those were fantastic. And again, thanks Samantha and Kelly both for reading those questions. Grant and Casey, really, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much, Casey.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, and that's Grant, but yeah, thank you.
we're happy to have both of you here. I want to tell you, if I could submit this particular hour of a web meeting to the Silver Anvil, I'll tell you what, it is golden, because I think you guys, this was just a wonderful meeting. I'm really happy that you were all here. I look forward to our next meeting, which will be on strategy. And so we're going to continue to focus on the RPIE. And what is that thumb going by? I don't even know what that is. Who did that? I saw a thumb going by on the screen. There's another one. What is all of that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Going crazy here. Anyhow, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody. We're really happy that you were here, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye, everybody. I don't know what they are. That's pretty great. Bye-bye, everybody. Yeah.